this episode of Chain Attack, where we talk about how each other has backstabbed somebody or blah blah blah.
What's this piece about?
Don't you mean when we pay homage to the Lord Emperor?
No.
I put the homage right now.
I guess that's how one edition of the history book works.
Well, considering the Emperor will probably write it.
I believe technically Paul Blatty's wife is the history, so
I'll have her get right on that.
Just saying, thinking of Roman history, the losers rarely have much of an injury.
That was Trevor. I'm Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And I'm Scott.
And we played a game of TI4.
So this is going to be a bonus episode, and a little, for those of you who aren't aware, we did a fundraising effort and said that when $500 got donated that we would, each of us declared for charity, and whoever won, the money would go to the winner's charity of choice. So last Friday we went to Josh Willer's house, set up a stream, we streamed the game on Twitch. We end up using a preset map, which I personally probably prefer just for the sake of speed and balance, but I can see arguments, I guess, for
doing the build.
Yeah,
the
I haven't done the build on 4 yet, but the next time me and my guys play, that's our plan, is to give that a shot.
We use every single tile in a 4-player game?
Yes.
It does, yeah. All of the pre-made map setups use all of the planetary systems. It's just the number of anomalies and empty spaces are vary.
I think if once expansions come out, I'll probably be more on board for custom builds of maps or, you know, choosing. But right now, there's a limited number of planets, and some of them are not equal.
So somebody could theoretically end up with a bunch of anomalies.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, especially
not necessarily
four-player
anomalies. You're supposed to get a certain number of planets, but you could get like, oh, all of my planets are the butt. Right. And you have...
I'm the butt quadrant of the galaxy
correct.
Now.
Yeah, I'm just saying when TI3 got near its end, you had so much, you had a huge stack of things, and you didn't necessarily get all. It would be hard to get all the great ones or all the poor ones because there were so many stacks after the expansions came out. That's not the case
and
right now.
It'll definitely be interesting when the game gets its expansions and it goes up to 8 players again, etc.
Because the build doesn't take that much longer, right? I mean, I don't have memories of it being...
I think the build could potentially add another hour to the game.
I don't think it's that much. I think it's probably
15 to 20. Yeah.
I think 15 to 20 for experienced players and non-analysis paralysis players is probably...
One of the nice things about the pre-built... game is that if you play it a few times, you start to realize, you know, there's some interesting dynamics about it that can, I guess, you can get used to or know the whole thing better. It can speed up the game as well if you've played it a few times. It's not gonna speed up your first one, but
right.
So when we set up the map, and then if you look in the rules, it says players select their race, and it lets you choose what method you're going to use. And so what we ended up going with is we dealt out, there's 17 races. We dealt out 4 races in 4 different starting locations, and then we rolled the dice with high die going in one location being the speaker and then going clockwise around in size of...
Which is a little bit asterisky. I think you need to select races before you know where you're sitting.
Hmm.
My chair directly influenced the race that I picked.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. You probably should do that.
That's what you're saying. You should pick race.
Well, you should randomly
decide who gets to pick or what order you pick.
Yeah, you should randomly pick races.
Yeah,
and
in the rule book, like generating the map is like one of the last steps.
Sure,
you get your races and assemble components like step 2 in the process, and you don't make the map until like the second to last step.
Knowing who my neighbors were definitely influenced my race selection as well. Also knowing I knew the numbers, so it probably would have kept me away. One of the races I selected specifically because the limited number of people we had in the game.
Yeah, you would have known that either way, but
just saying that there was
it,
other
it
factors
also,
that
I mean, it ended up impacting me as well because so Scott ended up rolling high and was speaker, and I ended up rolling low, which means I'm going to be getting
last choice,
the 2 worst strategy rolls. And I felt like, so The races I had, I can't remember the fourth one, but the worst one, the one I was least interested in, was Barony of Letnuff, so that gives you an idea of how good
Jace Poole
was. Like, I had this really good race, and it's poop compared to the others.
I had the Arborek, which was going in, the one that I kind of wanted to play, just because I think they're cool and strong and, you know, et cetera. But I also had the
Federation of Sol.
Federation of Sol, and they start with two carriers and five troops, which can give you an explosive start. And I felt like with me going last in the rotation, that
having an explosive start could help quite a bit.
Yeah, I needed to do that. And so the location and also knowing I was going last ended up influencing me as well.
S-tier factions are S-tier.
Yeah.
There's no S-tier factions.
I disagree.
There's not that much difference between the top and the bottom.
There is
difference between the top and the bottom. There's not that much difference between the top and the between second. Most of the bottom.
Should I talk about my choice now? Is that
sure.
Right?
Go ahead.
So I was sitting to Jay's right. Well,
let me preface this by saying that everyone at the table except for Josh lived in fear of the idea of Josh getting the necrovirus. And Josh is like, please, please let it happen. And
I wasn't that worried about it.
It would have been so awesome. I almost got Trevor to pick it. I would have been so awesome. I just want that race to get played someday.
Necrovirus is so fun, but in four-player games, I feel like if one of the four players is the necrovirus, the guy with the speaker token just rules the Senate face.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, the four-player game that I played...
Because the necrovirus isn't participating in the vote and stuff.
It just comes down to people abstaining until the...
The speaker has way more. We'll get to my decision process in a second, but that was certainly part of it. Like, I felt like I would have a hard time getting techs against three players where I'm really only fighting two.
Right.
And I would be in a constant fight against those two. Anyway, we'll get to my thought process in a minute, but tell us about the four you had.
So my stack, I had the Diplomatic Turtles, the Extra, And I can't remember the name of the nomads. The tribe.
Clan of Sar.
Oh, Clan of Sar, that's right. And I had the Ghosts of Kreos, which was probably my strongest choice in the stack. Their homeworld is through a different wormhole.
I love that faction.
Yeah, they're super cool. And then I had the bottom. The Winnu. Who start with
their starting forces are
barge, basically. You know?
Yeah, it's like a
carrier, a cruiser.
It's a carrier, a cruiser, destroyer, and three ground troops, I think.
So
it is gnarly.
I want you to defend this selection.
Oh, well, I mean, I just...
What was your thought process?
It's a total possum play. He picks the Winnu. We all immediately disrespect his viability for the win. It's a total possum play.
What I love about this question and analysis that's happening on that side of the table is that it presumes
there is
logic.
No. I was hoping that you would give some sort of argument that would disprove the chaotic, ineffective alignment. I'm assuming you can't. But...
I just wanted to play them so bad because they're terrible. And
you do love terrible things.
I do sometimes, and I just wanted to use their two abilities if humanly possible.
Man, the thing is they're such a weird faction because if you're not the first guy to Mechatol Rex, your racial abilities are just blanked.
It is interesting because they have they have a racial tech that gives you a completely worthless benefit when you're not on Mechatol Rex.
Yeah.
And their racial, all their racial techs, or not racial techs, their racial abilities are all based on Mechatol Rex.
Are based on Mechatol Rex, if you're not, you're right, if you're not the first one to Mechatol Rex, you just, one of your two racial abilities is gone.
Well, I started with one tech and the worst unit pool, and I've got no racials.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Okay.
Anyway, luckily for you, that this is a political game as much as more than it is a strategy game.
Especially with this crowd.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and the galaxy has long memories.
I'm sorry to not disapprove, Jay, the chaotic and effective.
Okay, that's fine. I want to give you the benefit of the doubt.
We need to make our own TI4 legacy edition where we just have this board off to the side where we write who won, what races were played, and we can just write years down. We can just keep a running total of, the emperors, previous emperors.
It's called box topping. We should do it.
Yeah.
I would do it on my box top.
You
write all that inside the box. Oh, yeah. So that's on the top of the box. Kind of fun.
I mean, honestly, it would be pretty easy.
Yep.
Yeah.
We do it anyway, except for we use anecdotal memories that probably yes. aren't correct.
I remember when Scotius Ray took the throne for the first time. All right, Trevor, let's hear your reasoned and rational.
No, I don't have reasoned or rational.
Yes, you do, because you didn't choose the crazy choice, which was the virus.
I did not choose the virus.
No, I mean, I guess there's a reason. I'm not sure if it's rational. I mean, his reason was basically, I like the Senate face.
Well, that's what I chose, but that's not why I didn't choose the virus. Well, that is part of the reason why I didn't choose the virus. Anyway, my four options were the Mentat Coalition, the Necrovirus, the Cats, the Merchants, I can't think of their name. Emirates of Hassan, and the race that I chose, which is
University of Jolnar. Have you played Emirates already?
Your fourth race was the Nalu, Jay.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. So, yes, he did have an amazing
S tier all day.
Right. Nalu is amazing. I love the Nalu. I have played the Emirates in...
And was that why you didn't play them?
That's part of it.
Wait, in TI4 you have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I played it last time we played the
Emirates. Correct. I played it Saturday after that. And part of the issue I have...
Of all of the ones you had, that's probably the one I would have picked.
They're wicked strong.
I don't like them in TI4. I feel like they've gone way down in strength from TI3.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. I could not disagree more.
But aren't you instant neighbors with everybody with them?
Yeah. You are, but you also gain a bunch of trade goods that you can't give yourself.
Oh.
And in a four-player,
so what you're saying is you have to.
I think if you're
work as a master trader.
Yes, I think if you're playing against people who don't know what the fuck they're doing, you can be like, "Here, I'll trade you this for this," and you can actually trade for six. But in a real game, nobody does that shit. You're always trading down, and I hate it. It feels like you're helping your opponents more than you're helping yourself. Like your commodities of six is not a boon. It's actually a ball and chain, and I don't feel like they're that strong, especially compared to TI3, where they were a merchant engine, made a ton of money every round. It just doesn't feel like they're the same. I'm not saying they're not good. They are good. I'm just saying they're a step down from what they were before.
Oh, man, I think the only thing that I don't like about them is their home system.
Okay. Because it's got the three planets, right?
Well, because it's and all three of the planets are shite.
I don't like about that is defending three planets is the butt. That's how I lost the first game I played before.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's all those things come into why I don't particularly like the Emirates right now. I'm not saying they're not good. I think they are. I just don't think they're as good as they were before.
So tell me what you meant by you chose universities because you liked the Senate phase?
I did not choose the Necrovirus because I liked the Senate phase.
Okay.
So the Necrovirus had multiple problems. They don't make any votes during the Senate phase, during the agenda phase. They can't build any techs. They have to earn it by fighting other people. And we're playing a four-player game, highly political game amongst people who don't really want to be attacked, don't like being attacked, and it usually pisses them off.
We do have a specialization.
There's some vindictiveness at this table, I'm just saying. So there was a combination, multiple things of like, I just don't want to I don't want to be the one that pisses everybody off to start. And I don't want to be absent during the agenda phase. I felt like it was probably too big of a problem. I mean, they are strong. I would have been more happy in a six player game to play them.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. So I dropped those. Really, it came down to the universities and the Emirates. Mm-hmm. I hadn't played the universities in TI4 yet. I played them tons of times, obviously, in TI3. They were awesome. So I decided to play the universities, and the Mentak I've always looked at them like, not exactly sure what they're doing. Even in TI3, I was kind of a little confused as to what they were trying to accomplish. The race always felt a little scatterbrained, I guess. And they still feel that way to me.
So I've played universities in TI4, so far, and I'd have to say they're one of my least favorite play experiences so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Have this little spoiler alert, post having played them, I think some of the advantages they had in TI3 at the end with all the expansions, because of the ways you could politically or economically or technologically win, some of those advantages are not quite as strong as they are in TI4 currently.
Right.
And so the penalty of -1 to your attack rolls on everything
is a big deal.
It is a monstrous deal.
It is a much bigger deal than it was in TI3.
At least at the end.
I honestly have very few memories of the early games. I have more memories of the later games.
Sure. Scott, why did sitting next to me make you feel like you had to take the L1Z1X?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that I was sitting next to you. It was because I had the I had done a lot of study on all of the races in the week leading up to this charity game, and I had I had like an opening game plan for basically every race that I was interested in playing, and so I had my options were the Sardak Nor, which I don't know why you would ever pick the Sardak Nor over one of the other military factions, like the one that I ended up picking, which was the Lizzix Mind Net.
Mm-hmm.
The other one in the conversation for me was the Yasarl tribes. And then I'm trying to remember who my fourth option was. I've been trying to process of elimination it from your guys.
The Yasarl tribes is the delay for days guys, right?
Yeah.
They can't delay for days anymore. Yeah. They can still delay for
yes,
quite a while.
Yes, they can.
They can delay long enough. They just can't delay infinitely. They can't do it for free.
Right. Yeah. Now. So I picked the Lizzix because I had a because of the color of Tech Planet that was in my starting location. Is why. I had the right color of Tech Planet in my start there for my perceived L1Z1X open, and I did not have the right kind of planets in my starting location for my desired
Yasarl
open.
What were you going to do with the Tech Planet?
It was largely to skip, I wanted to skip from Sarween tools directly to transit diodes. Basically go from Sarween tools, which is a yellow tech, and then get their racial tech inheritance systems, and then go directly into integrated economy, which allows you to produce on a planet. Every time you conquer it, you get to make units there for free.
Right.
And I had a yellow tech planet, and I figured that I wanted to play a more militaristic race since it was... things were going to come down that way.
So Sardak Nor, they're the military planet, the race that gets plus one to all their tech.
They're the bug race that has plus one to all of their stuff, yeah, but they don't start with any technologies, no technologies.
Oh my god.
And their...
Jehoshaphat.
Their starting units are interesting, but I think that the fact that they start with no techs, and I think both of their racial techs are kind of crap also.
Yeah, that's the one that...
I don't see a compelling reason to ever pick them over Barony, Lizzix, or Federation.
Was the Yin sure. Brotherhood one?
Yeah, it was okay. The Yin Brotherhood, who...
Aren't they the kamikaze
what?
Dudes? Right? Am I thinking of them right?
No, the Yin Brotherhood, they can convert people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's actually pretty strong. No,
okay, that ability is pretty strong. All of the rest of their racial stuff is kamikaze.
The sound that Scott made before.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you can get the thing that Scott's talking about where you can produce as soon as you take a planet.
Right.
And you can convert somebody's dude as soon as you hit it can steamroll people.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I also really like the Lizzix because their dreadnoughts are capacity two, right off the bat.
Sure.
Jeez. So you can move a dreadnought into a two planet system and
capture
both planets.
Yeah.
Okay. So Scott starts off, we pick our, roles. We start off with doing some negotiations with each other. And when I say we, I mean I.
Yes.
I mean, you primed the pump, you know, that's okay.
So on the four-player map, there's basically everyone has three players have four planets around their home system, and one player has three planets around their home system with one that has an empty space in between it. So basically you have four planets that are there, and then one space removed, there's another system that you can move into with production planets. So Scott had like three options that he could be one removed from, and I only had one. And so I started a conversation with Scott saying, look, I want us to be friendly neighbors. I want to take this planet. You can work out with Trevor which one of the other two you're going to expand towards. And one of the cards that you have is Support the Throne, which exchanges a victory point.
I think it took us three negotiation phases before I finally acquiesced. I've learned my lesson. I mean, making deals with Jay on turn one, they're always open-ended, nebulous.
That's...
You know what the best part is? I feel like I finally learned from watching Jay, though, and I was like, all I care about negotiating is using my two racial powers, which require me getting to Mechatol Rex. So I'm like, hey, table, let's talk about how I go to Mechatol Rex. And y'all agreed with it.
Which was a mistake.
yeah.
I mean, to be fair,
that's part about I kind of knew you were making.
Yeah, I knew. We knew it was a mistake we were making.
Though, I mean, someone has to go to Mechatol Rex.
Someone does.
So why not the weakest player in the galaxy?
That's honestly, that's why we allowed it. But the truth is that we should have.
The truth is that you had to be set up to remove him eventually.
Yeah,
which you were.
The problem. Yes. The problem is that we let you move in with no plan to get you out.
The problem was you and I agreed to terms less nebulous than any terms we've ever agreed to in a TI game in our history, where you said,
and still they were too nebulous.
Here's the conditions we're in. I will not allow you to be on Mechatol Rex anymore.
And they were still too nebulous.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
They were way too nebulous.
There should have been no troops on Mechatol either.
That's what it should have been.
I might have agreed to that.
It wasn't that they were too nebulous. It was that they were too favorable.
Yeah. and that you kept your word.
Right.
I have no issues with me keeping my word. What I do have issues with is not spelling it out clearer in a way.
Well, or less favorably, so, like Jay said. Yeah.
Basically.
So Jay remembers the deal one way.
What deal?
Oh, the revisionist history starts now.
Our deal in round one.
I love that we have video evidence, but it still won't clarify anything. That's my favorite part of all
that
this.
That is the best part.
So, fast forward through things. Scott and I set up our agreement. We all set up an agreement with Josh so that he can move in. My condition with Josh is that I take one of the systems in his next to his
that actually
planet,
neighbored my home planet, yeah,
and that'll give me a technology planet which will allow me to score a public objective.
Right.
That takes some big cojones, I'm just saying, to allow somebody to be like, yeah, I'll let you move in.
I was like,
here's the belly.
I'm already weak. Like, what, you know, how can I look any weaker?
Of all the players at the table, I'm the one who's not going to backstab him. Like, well, Trevor won't either.
Scorpion clan for life.
So Scott and Trevor's condition to me was that I not tap Imperial more than once while on Mechatol Rex.
Which
you're basically saying, like, we're not going to allow you to just get 2 free points.
That would be three free points. We're like, hey, we're okay with 2 free points.
Oh, that's
we're
right.
Fucking
one,
idiots.
One for taking it off the planet.
Three points is a bridge too far. That's where we draw the line,
right. Sir.
Well, okay, to be fair, part of this problem is inexperience with TI4. Like in TI3, I feel like we could have let you have that. The bonus victory point.
Yeah, that's new in TI4.
For removing the custodians.
For removing the custodians is new.
Oh, okay.
And in previous versions, letting someone take Mechatol Rex and keep it for a while is not as critical. But in this game, in TI4, it's a big problem.
Well, there's also a fair number of secret objectives that revolve around it.
Correct. Right. And I think that, again, our mistake was giving you that condition, but not giving you an additional condition of you also
don't
can't
build up.
You can't build up a military there. Therefore, that if it needs to be taken from you, it is open game.
Right.
The truth was is we allowed you to take it with the only condition is you don't score an extra point on it, and then you just kind of camped on it and built to the point where there was the possibility of removing you was not even there.
Just wanted to use my racial tech too.
So people are spreading out. By the end of turn two, I have 6 systems, and I'm spread pretty thin. I think, probably Scott and Trevor both have their 5 systems at this point.
No, I don't. I didn't. Trevor took Warfare and beat me to Abyss Freya, which I didn't.
Which was what was neighboring Mechatol, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Which was one neighboring Mechatol, so I was blocked on the asteroid field there. He took Warfare and rushed there, which actually caused Trevor and I to have very amicable relations for basically the whole game. My plan was to go there first because Universities isn't going to boot Lizix off of a system in the early game.
Right.
Period.
Right.
But that's not the way it went down. And that's actually, I don't know. I actually think that worked out better. Instead, I stayed like on the periphery of the board.
I disagree with you.
That it worked out better?
Yeah.
You mean because you think Scott would have removed me more effectively?
No, I mean, I would have a hard time accepting not having access to Mechatol Rex.
Oh, right. Yeah, because that's basically...
That's part of the problem with the 4-player map. One player gets
Here's my beef, he has to get the one blue tag, the gravity drives or whatever, right?
Like
my beef actually with all of the preset maps in TI4 is that three of the systems adjacent to Mechatol are anomalies in every single map setup.
Yeah, right.
There's a nebula and two asteroid fields next to Mechatol on every single preset map.
Well, that gets very hard in a six player game when there's six players trying to get to Mechatol right. and only three
and only get three lanes in there.
The six player game that I played, the systems adjacent to Mechatol were fought over the entirety of the game.
Right. Well, they kind of have to be.
Yeah.
Like, shots were fired in round
constantly.
One.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, so Scott and I, the deal was kind of struck after I took the warfare because it kind of put him in a position where he needed to strike a deal. But we struck a deal together that was pretty set in stone as far as what we were going to support. And I felt like that was a good thing for us. It allowed us to kind of look towards our other sides and ignore each other. But the truth is neither of us are very, at least I'm not very fast expansioning. So when Jay's talking about six systems, I think I only had four at that point because I had a hard time.
Joel only starts with three ground troops. They can't carry one. Yeah.
Right. They only start with one carrier.
The Dreadnought too, though.
Sure. But I sent all of that to Abyss and Freya
right.
to make sure that I could hold it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did not expand very quickly.
So basically,
in hindsight, the Abyss and Freya thing probably wasn't worth it. If I would have expanded out and away from that and let you have it, it probably would have been better off for me.
Did you have a nebula or an asteroid next to you?
Next to me?
Well, as the alternate path to
Mechatol Rex.
It was Nebula.
I mean, that makes it worse.
Yeah. Because you don't fly through that as easy.
Right.
No,
you don't.
You don't. Yeah. You have to stop. And it telegraphs your position to
everybody. Yeah, I mean, if you have a asteroid field there, then you can at least have
at least
pretty
get to it,
accessible route into it. But
right.
Yeah, no, it was not. That was not at all my situation. I really needed to. If I ever wanted to have any involvement with Mechatol Rex, I had to get to Abyss of Freya.
Okay.
So,
and I think I had five systems, Jay, because I had Rex, and I basically had the
and
three systems between it and my turn.
Turn two is when you succeed in taking Mechatol Rex. So start of turn three, Scott, explain yourself.
Was it really that fast that
it
happened?
Oh, yes.
It was okay.
Now I want to just touch
little preface.
So I'm going to tell my side of the story.
Little preface before this. At this point, I also have 12 trade goods.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, the way that the first two rounds have come down, Trevor and I have been very amicable. And I also feel like I'm playing.
Can you say that as though we have not been amicable?
Listen. You and I both know.
I had no intentions of
no intentions of not fighting me at some point. The same way I had no intentions of having permanent peace with you. That's true.
No, I intended. God. From this day forward, certainly that will always be my case.
Yeah, because that wasn't already the case.
That is correct.
Okay. All right.
Jay is a blank slate every game of.
Oh no! I am not a blank slate.
Okay.
I don't understand how this even happened when last time we had a game, Scott tried to invade your home planet on turn two.
It was one next to my planet. And then he's like, oh, yeah, that's a dumb idea. But no. Anyways, continue.
Carry on. Okay. All right, justify.
I had no intentions whatsoever of hostile action towards Jay until the stars aligned in the status phase. So I had gotten Lizik start with neural motivator, so I was drawing two action cards a turn. I hadn't gotten into any hostile stuff. I had been pretty efficient on my productions and my fleet placements, and I had sneakily upgraded my cruisers and had two cruisers and two ground troops.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know your upgrades, by the way.
I declare all of my upgrades. You can check the video feed.
Nice.
Unlike certain bioweapon producing individuals.
That's true.
I produced it, and then I produced it that turn. I did not use it before then.
Yeah, your announcement was I just destroyed all your troops.
Yeah.
To be fair, I didn't announce hardly shit. I'm not
That's
telling you guys
mean.
What text. If you want to know what text I got, you can look.
Point of order. It is good manners to announce what technologies you're getting.
I've never thought of that. I just set them out there by my
because some technologies, like the bioweapon and
are essentially
cruisers,
threatening,
change
inherently.
The landscape
right,
of the game.
Right, yeah.
So I had two cruisers and two ground troops parked in the corner on the beta wormhole system. And they're speed 3. in the round two status phase, I drew a little card called In the Silence of Space, which basically gives you Lightwave Deflector for one activation, lets you move through enemy ships rather than having to stop to fight them. I look over and see I've got the speaker token.
Mm-hmm.
I picked leadership, so I was first in initiative, and I'm looking at the board, and I'm like, okay, so I'm going first. I have a mitt full of action cards and upgraded ships. None of my systems are really in a position for reprisal, and I look over, and I do see that Jay is spread all willy-nilly over the galaxy. He has ships parked in the two systems that would normally block my ingress to his home system,
mm-hmm.
but because I drew in the Silence of Space, that doesn't matter, and his home system is just sitting there with its cute little space dock on it. Now, the Lizzix Mind Net have an ability called Assimilate. And what Assimilate does is when you gain control of a planet, if that planet had structures on them, those planets flip to become your structures. Well, and the way that things resolve in a tactical action, you take control of the enemy space docks and then immediately have an opportunity to produce there. And simply put, the last time we played, I was sitting in between Jay and Trevor, and you guys eliminated me. First elimination I've ever seen. First elimination I've ever seen.
This wasn't okay. The game I was
so,
in.
So here's...
You weren't there for that one, but we removed him completely from the board.
Oh my gosh.
The terms of the deal with Jay were, I mean, we exchanged promissory notes, mm-hmm, that part that is enforcing rules set in stone. There had been no aggression up until that point. And I mean, to me, I had fulfilled all of the
explicit terms of the deal. I don't think there's a court in the law that would convict you.
All of the explicit terms of the deal had been met.
As a matter of fact, the Emperor pardons you, Scott.
All right. Point of order three. Okay. At this stage in the game, and I should have communicated this, the issue is the three of you are honorable men. because I think that were Trevor a less honorable man, I very much could have struck a deal with Trevor here to basically eliminate both of you from the game, and then Trevor and I would play for the
win. Trevor Scott game.
That's probably true.
Yeah, that is true.
It is absolutely true. Yeah. So that was point of order three. Point of order four is, I really, really, really want to win this charity game. And my group of friends has an adagio that they always throw around called, if Scott wins, nobody else does. Well, at this table, that same idea applies to Mr. Jay Larson. Okay? I assess Trevor is next to me. My fleet's bigger than his. He's playing Universities of Jolnar, and I'm playing a military faction. Mm-hmm. He's already postured and feeling kind of threatened by you and is in position to unseat you, Josh.
Yes, right.
So I feel like Jay is very clearly the threat to my inevitable victory.
And in fairness...
The stars align, and I strike.
So here's why your analysis is correct and also
okay,
awful.
Okay, yes. There is one big fallacy
there
here.
There are flaws
There
here.
Is one big fallacy here, and that fallacy is, and I knew this before, and in the moment I forgot, but when Jay's not in a position to win, he is king makes supreme. And for anybody who watched the stream,
my race researched that tech instantly.
No sooner had I pulled the trigger on my master stroke to eliminate Jay from contention than did Jay throw every resource at his disposal towards ensuring that to end the game as quick as possible to the one person who hadn't dealt with me, i.e. Josh Wheeler.
No, it wasn't. So the reason why it was a good assessment that I was a danger is that as time passes, I consolidate my base.
Right.
The
Federation the just Federation gets stronger and stronger, stronger and stronger.
And right. We passed a law that even made him stronger.
Yeah,
we couldn't build two troops. Right.
Yeah, we passed a law
anymore.
That made him stronger. He also had more planets. As we've already mentioned, he had more planets than we did. He expanded quicker.
He had also already scored one of the more difficult public objectives.
Correct.
And was in position to score all of the other ones that we could see.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So the flaw. The flaw is that Scott's played enough games with me that he should know that as soon as Scott does that, I am eliminated from contention in
straight up
winning the game.
Yeah.
So therefore, my only objective is to make sure that Scott loses.
Yeah.
So I have a quick question before we go any farther. Because so Scott took over your space dock and he started building stuff there. Let's pretend for a moment.
I screwed up my command token allocation there. I needed to put one more in my fleet pool to build a dreadnought there. So that I could have built a dreadnought, and so I would have had a dreadnought and two cruisers.
I understand what you're thinking there, but I think you're going the wrong direction. Let's pretend for a moment that instead you take Jay's home system in a stroke that cripples him but does not eliminate him, and instead of him throwing his weight behind Josh and trying to stop you, he attempts, and it looks like he can recover. If you had done it in a manner which crippled him to the point where he's going to be behind but not out, I don't think it turns out the way it does.
You're right.
Man, that feels like that's like asking for some surgical level precision.
I agree. It might be asking too much.
He did like 6 ground troops or something on his build. Right. And so,
like, yeah, how
if he doesn't build at all, he doesn't take the home.
If he's like, these are just sanctions, you can't participate in the Olympics.
Then Jay spends the next 2 turns just taking his home planet back. He gets it, but he's still in the game, but he is now on more even footing with the rest of us. I mean, I know that that's like next level thinking and it's all hindsight.
Really, the issue is we had allowed Josh to score two. I legitimately thought that the position that you and I were in, because I thought our arrangement had been extremely beneficial. Like we'd both been able to develop pretty quickly. Josh had the most victory points, but he had a decent sized fleet on Mechatol.
I was
basically
just a pussy cat.
Basically nothing else.
Right. He didn't have very many techs. He didn't have a lot of substance to his force, honestly.
Correct. Right. And
it was all words and promises.
I legitimately thought, okay, one, if I don't do it as my first action, Jay is going to fortify and the window will
go away.
The window will close.
Right.
Okay. Two, the way that the board was set up, I didn't think that Jay was, and I mean, I think even at the end of the game, this assumption stands that if you hadn't already had as many victory points as you had, I could have eliminated Jay before you won the game.
Scott, I feel a little hurt that you think that I'm that bad at king making.
I had a strong ally in the Listen, there's no guarantees. I figured it's my best shot.
I'm going to counter that I actually think if you'd held on just a turn or two, you probably still would have had an opportunity. I don't know that Jay would have fortified enough that you couldn't have done it.
I can't afford to let Jay strike me first.
Well, regardless of those things, the confluence of that happening with us allowing Josh to get too much of Mechatol was a bad combination.
Yes. Yeah. Exacerbated by the fact that there was still duration on the terms of your peace with Josh.
Yeah.
So, long story short, we played this game in 4 hours.
Three, it was 3.5.
Realistically, we were probably at the table for 3.5.
We really were. Yeah, the stream is 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And that's including
the 20-minute phone call he had where we had to basically pause the game.
Right.
We played the game in 3 hours and 10 minutes from the first taking of things. So, I mean, we were set up. There was setup time too.
Yeah, right.
But the whole game itself, I mean, you can watch the whole thing on Twitch in 3 hours, 3.5 hours.
Yeah. And basically anything that will advance Josh's win conditions at that point, I like here, Josh. Have some.
Do you need some trade goods, Josh?
Do you need some trade goods to score that 5 trade good objective? Do you need me to counterattack Trevor?
I want you to know, too, that I looked through the secret objective deck at the end of that game.
Yeah.
And that there were only 2 cards
that would have
scored the way I did. In the deck that you could have gotten the last point with.
But on top of all of this, at the point where it looks like it's inevitable that Josh is going to win, I realize that the deal I've made with Josh is too nebulous. And as Josh mentioned, it was one of the most concrete deals we'd ever made. Yes. But I realized that I added a little subtext at the end of the deal in passing that became critical at this point, but it had no...
That's the don't get too far ahead.
Yeah, I said, as long as you don't get too far ahead, and I didn't qualify it in any way, shape, or form, and I have no idea how
to... The conflux of
the instant
shitty
Jay
things.
Just hands Josh 8 trade goods,
I think it was like
should
three,
have been your cue.
Well, I mean, Scott, you needed to have access to Mechtar Rex, which you did not. You guys needed me to be someone who could threaten Josh, which that you completely reversed.
Yeah. Right.
And I thought that it was a very predictable chain of events.
I'm not sure I agree, except for the fact the point at which Scott puts six more ground troops on your home system makes it completely out of reach.
Right.
Like, there's absolutely no way you're taking it back.
Right.
Not with any amount of time that puts you back in the game.
Right.
I mean,
he got the bioweapon. Yeah, well,
he still didn't take his own planet.
Yeah, because he didn't get warfare, right. So you can't. Yeah, bioweapon is way slower in this edition.
He would have got it eventually.
Yeah,
but at that point, it wouldn't have mattered.
I wouldn't have had
if he would have put all of his efforts into taking his home system
and it's still a situation of I'm spending my effort taking my home systems back, and there's Josh with no one who is
no one's threatening Josh. It puts us in a situation. I think if Scott and I's seating position had been flipped and the same thing still happened, then it's different too, because Scott has a much better ability to get to Josh than I do.
Yeah.
Right.
As the universities, I had tech for the long game.
Right. You don't
want. I should have been teching for the short game. I didn't have my speed buffs. I didn't have any, I hadn't upgraded any of my ships. I was not in position to try to take someone's home system.
Yeah.
So Josh scores like crazy. They start sending on the last round,
wave upon wave.
They start doing the Hail Marys of like the university bringing these shitty ships, and they're just like
they were pretty
sad.
At one point, the Winnu just declared a retreat because
my first Hail Mary wasn't as big of a Hail Mary, which
to Mechtal Rex
was just to take Mechtal Rex. But I absolutely
that definitely came down to dice. I mean,
but it turns out dice with the university. I mean, the ground landing was
that's what it
abysmal. Always going to be a long shot.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. Yes, I agree.
Since I had built up some troops on there.
Well,
yeah, no,
you get the PDS for free, right? And without the bombards, it's...
So, the agreement that Josh and I had was that I would be his prime minister. seems just fine.
And the rest of y'all will pay homage. Hey, Josh, great plan to pick the Winnu and rush.
Oh.
It's not a great plan. Don't do that, folks.
Well, I'll be honest. I think that our games are probably way more political than a lot of people's out there. There's probably much more strategic. There's very few deals that go on. They kind of probably play it a lot like Risk. And truthfully, this game is not nearly as fun if you do that.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
But I'm certain that especially there are potential attitude types, personality types, that play a different game than we do.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the reason why we enjoy the game so much is because of our personality types and the way that we approach the game. I mean, in our game, the Winnu can win on the sheer strength of deals and politics over the top of strategic value of ships.
L1, Z1X, Federation of Sol.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So. I mean, and truthfully, if there's no deals going on in that game, you get crushed under the weight of the Federation of Sol without even a blinking of the eyes.
Basically, you have the hard military factions and then everybody else.
Right. Yeah. So.
I mean, I could see other ones that would still be like
could hold
Nalu, Diplo like Turtles.
Right. Nalu were a pretty strong like military faction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly because they always get first blood if they want it.
They always go first, and their fighters become ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
still love this game.
Still love this game. Yep. If you are interested in having this happen again, likely it will not be a 3.5-hour game. You'll get a little more value for your donation dollar. You can, again, do a donation to... donatorpaint@gmail.com, and when we hit $500 again, we'll do another game.
If you're interested in my TI3 and expansions, I'm selling those.
I keep them as a museum now. I have TI2 and 3.
I don't have
board game space.
Yeah, that's I have one closet.
I'm probably about to not have enough.
Filled to the brim with stuff, and a big coffin box worth of game is hard to keep
pretty
on.
Gnarly.
If you want the better game, though, it is available at discountgamesinc.com.
We've said it before, but 4th edition, I mean, we played a bunch of 3rd edition. I mean, our old tradition used to be the New Year's Day game,
right,
where we would get an 8-player game with...
Yeah, Black Friday, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
We missed it this year, though.
Yeah, we did.
Shame on us.
Shame on us, indeed. Yeah, that was good times.
I do.
But anyway, it's way more approachable. I had so 2 days after we played the charity game.
Right.
I mean, I've picked up a copy and I've played 5 games on my personal copy since it's come out.
Much respect.
It is so much easier to teach and engage new players than the previous edition.
Okay.
I think it's just a better game as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's just streamlined. I mean,
my only disappointment, my only wish is that you could play 8 players.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will.
Although, I know you will, but yeah. That is something I also miss from TF3.
Well, it will be sad when, like, the neoprene mat doesn't.
It doesn't work for 8 players.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of will, because they're just going to add
it's
another
just,
row.
Yeah, it's just going to add a 4th ring.
Mm, true. I mean, it won't look as good, but.
Man, 4 rings. The galaxy's so big.
Yeah, the galaxy's awesome. I love 8-player games.
Yeah.
Love 8-player games.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for everyone who donated, everyone else, and even ones who have donated. Feel free to donate again.
You're the best.
Chain attack.
Chain attack.
Chain attack.
Chain attack.